God has good timing. Yesterday morning, I usually prepare my Sunday homily on Saturday morning, and I read an article that morning that I said, oh, this works perfectly with the theme of our readings about waste and the sin of omission. And it's a story about Father Paul Watson, who was an Episcopalian priest, and he, on December the 21st, 1904, woke up at 5 a.m. and he clearly heard the words in his heart, gather up the fragments that nothing may be lost. Gather up the fragments that nothing may be lost. And he immediately recognized these as the words of Jesus in the miracle of the loaves and fish multiplication story, where after Jesus told the apostles to go out and distribute the fish and loaves, he said, gather up the fragments, put them in the baskets, so that nothing will be lost. And Father Paul started meditating on this, and he thought, we waste so much. What if we gave these fragments, these leftovers that we have that we really don't need, what if we gave them to the missionaries in the foreign lands? How many missionaries could we support by just the stuff that we don't need, and that we either waste or we just keep around not even using? And so he started what he called the union that nothing may be lost. It would be a society that would try to promote this. And he did that for a while, but it didn't seem to take off it very well. And then he had started this society for the atonement. He liked that word because if you break up atonement, it means at one ment. And he wanted to gather all the Christian denominations back into one as the body of Christ, the work of ecumenism, we call it. And about a couple of years after he started that group, they had men and women, and it was kind of like a religious order among the Episcopalians. They all became Catholic. And they started Christian Unity Week, and we still do that every year in January. But he still wanted this union that nothing will be lost, and so as a Catholic priest now, he presented it to the Bishop of New York, and the Bishop of New York was kind of downplayed it, and Father Paul was disappointed. So the next day at Mass, at the consecration, one of the highest points of the Mass, Father Paul said, Lord, if this union that nothing be lost is just my own imagination and it's not your will, let me forget it. But if it is your will, send me a sign. And the sign came just a few days later. A man named John Reed from Connecticut came up to him in New York, traveled all the way to see him, and told Father Paul, he said, my parents left me in their will a rocky patch of soil, and I've been tilling that soil, and I wanted to give God the maximum. So I've lived very simply, and I have saved, and I want to give it to God. And so the man went back to his home and promptly wrote out a check for $5,200. That was in the year 1911, probably like $50,000 today. So it was a sizable amount. And Father Paul knew that he had received his sign. And this Mr. John Reed was the first member of the union that nothing be lost. And he became a member of the Society for the Atonement as a Third Order member. And he was known as Brother Philip. So Father Paul received his sign, and the Society for the Atonement and the Union That Nothing Be Lost is still going today, 100 years later. So God has very good timing. And I thought that it was a beautiful connection with our readings today, continuing this theme of stewardship as we get towards the end of the liturgical year. The readings look more and more about the end times and judgment and how we will be judged and so forth. And so yesterday and today, last week and today, about how we use our time, our talent, and our treasure. And so we heard first from the prophet Amos, chapter 6 in the Old Testament. And he was living in Jerusalem in the 500s BC. And he was preaching to these people. He said, you're lying on beds of ivory, you are dressing extravagantly, and you're drinking wine from bowls. What does that mean? They weren't drinking just from a chalice or a goblet that you would sip, but they're drinking it from bowls, as we would say. They were chug-lugging it, all right? And everything else that follows from that kind of drunkenness. That's what the way they were living. But at the time, their cousins to the north, because Israel had divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, unlike our civil war in the United States. But they were related. You know, they were all cousins. And the northern kingdom was about to be taken off into exile, and the people in the south were not rising up to help their cousins at all. And so Amos was preaching against their complacency, which wealth can tend to do. So there's nothing evil about wealth itself. It's what we do with it, right? And how we use it. If we're wealthy, we're blessed. We need to be generous and help those who are in need. And so Amos said, "Woe to the complacent in Zion." And he said, "For your punishment, you're going to go into exile. You're not helping your cousins up there who are going to go into exile. Now you're going to go into exile." And it happened. In 586 BC, the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem, took off the top 10% of the aristocracy into slavery. And so they didn't heed the words of the prophet. They didn't change. In Psalm 146, we heard, "God takes care of the oppressed, the hungry, the captives, the blind, the strangers, the orphans, and the widows, those who are most in need in our society even today." And in the Gospel of the rich man and Lazarus, notice how we know Lazarus's name, but we don't know the rich man's name. He's anonymous. Even despite his vast blessings, we don't know his name. But we know Lazarus. The rich man dressed extravagantly, dined sumptuously daily, and Lazarus just wanted the scraps that fell from the table of the poor man. Just like Father Paul Watson, "Let nothing gather up the fragments, that nothing will be lost." Lazarus could have lived on that. And it wasn't anything that the rich man did to Lazarus. It was what he didn't do to him. He didn't take care of the man that was right in front of his eyes, right there at the gate of his home. And he knew his name because he could call out, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus." He knew his name. But he didn't take care of the man right in front of his face. So it was the sin of omission. Sometimes people say, "I'm a good Christian. I don't hurt anybody." Well, that's not good enough to get into heaven. You can go through life easy enough without hurting anybody. But it's also what we're supposed to be doing to people in charity and love. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Father Abraham, and the rich man was self-serving even in the next life. He said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and put it on my tongue. It's so hot here, I've got this dry mouth. Please send him." So he's still like using Lazarus as a slave. And Abraham said, "The tables are turned. You received what was good, he received what was bad. Now it's the opposite, and there's a division in between us. We can't cross over. It's too late." It makes me think of that passage from Jesus where he says, "The measure with which you measure will be measured back to you." And to me, that is the scariest phrase in all of the Bible. The amount that we have expanded our hearts to love others is the amount that we can receive of love from God. It's the absolute just way of dealing with things, right? The way that we have expanded our hearts in this life to increase in love, that's how much we can receive, because you can't receive what you can't hold. And so it's a very sobering thought for each and every one of us to look at our lives. Are we doing what we are supposed to be doing? As a community, as a parish, the Christian Care and Share Center on Main Street was started by our parish, some of our parishioners, and we continue to fund it to a great degree. We give them $500 a month, and they distribute that to the poor and the needy who come to their door. And on two collections a year, Ash Wednesday and Thanksgiving Day, we pick those up and continue to help the Christian Care and Share Center. If you want to donate to them directly, you can make checks out to Christian Care and Share, send it to us, we'll get it to them. And on Tuesday, we're celebrating the feast of St. Vincent de Paul, who was a priest in France, who was very much concerned about the poor and the needy. And today we have the St. Vincent de Paul Societies, which is basically what the Christian Care and Share is, societies that take care of the needy. They were founded by, the societies were founded by Frederick Ozanam, Blessed Frederick Ozanam. And just today, I read an article about his life there. It was right in front of my face. And so many groups like Christian Care and Share are doing this work of taking care of the needy in our midst. So it's kind of a sobering reading today for all of us, for myself too. Are we doing? Are we using our time, our talent, and our treasure? We should be evaluating it every so often so that when we die, we can receive the maximum of return of love from God. So let me conclude with a poem called The Sin of Omission by Margaret Sangster. It isn't the thing you do, dear, it's the thing you leave undone, which gives you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender word forgotten, the letter you did not write, the flower you might have sent, dear, are your haunting ghosts tonight. The stone you might have lifted out of brother's way, the bit of heartsome counsel you were hurried too much to say, the loving touch of the hand, dear, the gentle and winsome tone that you had no time nor thought for with troubles enough of your own. The little acts of kindness so easily out of mind, those chances to be angels which everyone may find. They come in night and silence, each chill reproachful wraith, when hope is faint and flagging and a blight has dropped on faith. For life is all too short, dear, and sorrow is all too great, to suffer our great compassion that tarries until too late. And it's not the thing you do, dear, it's the thing you leave undone, which gives you the bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. So let us sleep well tonight and every night by doing everything that we can to build up the kingdom of God in service to those around us. Amen.